Hello and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Security Testing, a podcast where we talk all things security testing. Today we're going to be covering the depth versus coverage debate. Tom, where do we start?
I think it'd be interesting to talk about how, what the current perception is, right? Where the current perception of manual testing and automation and where they're at. You know, you hear this in the coalface quite a lot. What is it that you think the current view on depth and breadth is?
Well, I mean, I suppose we covered this to an extent in the last podcast, but I guess just to expand on it in more detail, for years, all we've said is scanners give you coverage and pen test gives you depth. And that, I think, is an incredibly oversimplified version of the truth, because that implies that there's nothing about the intricacies of the vulnerabilities themselves that we can find. It's simply that scanners can get across a system much quicker, but maybe they're not as robust at finding everything. But when you actually dig into the detail, there are certain vulnerabilities that scanners can find 100% of the time, and you simply just don't need any human interaction there, right? And, you know, scanners can just find them. On the other side, there are certain vulnerabilities that scanners will never find. These are typically vulnerabilities where the system is behaving normally. You know, logic flaws being a good example. I think we covered them on the last episode. And then there's a whole load of gray in the middle where scanners are somewhat capable of finding them, but humans are capable of either adding value to those things or finding more complex versions of those vulnerabilities. Am I wrong here? Should we be thinking about security testing tools and methods in terms of the CWEs, the vulnerabilities themselves? Or should we still be focusing on these kind of broad sweeping statements about their use?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that looking at breadth and looking at depth is definitely the wrong way to be able to look at the comparison between automation and people. You've hit the nail on the head in terms of the description of how there are vulnerabilities automation can find, and there are vulnerabilities that only people can find, and then there's the grey area. The way I look at the comparison between automation and people is really the value that automation gives that people struggle to, apart from speed, is consistency. Mm. Automated scanners can consistently find cross-site scripting and SQL injection. It is a science, there isn't an art to it. And so if you run automation against a system, then it's like on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, then it's a great way to be able to track performance over time at certain vulnerabilities. But what people can do that automation can't is they can find every vulnerability. There isn't a vulnerability that a person, that a tool can find that a person can't find, because people have access to the same tools that the scanners have access to, right? The problem with people is that people get fatigued, people get distracted. No pen tester wants to spend hours trawling through looking for every HTTP header misconfiguration or weak cipher suite. To be honest, no person wants to look for cross-site scripting a dozen times once you've already found it once within an application. There is burnout, there is exhaustion, and as people get more and more fatigued, they become less and less effective at finding these kinds of vulnerabilities. So, you know, I don't think that you should be looking at these tools as a trade-off. I think you should be looking at them as a symbiotic relationship where automation complements you by covering certain areas and is a control that manages those, and then people are there for the remainder.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, one of the biggest separations between humans and scanners is speed. Speed is quite useful, particularly if we're talking about software and we're trying to get features out the door and releases, and we want to take security seriously, but the business has a requirement that we don't sit on new releases for more than, say, a day or, you know, a couple of days, sometimes a lot shorter than that. Mm. So, I mean, how do we, you know, this is another important factor to discuss. Where do you sit on this? Is it that, fine, we can't use humans when we're doing release cycles because because they can't get there in time. What's your take on that?
At the risk of sounding like one of those difficult sort of podcast talk speakers who has to challenge absolutely everything, it depends on what you mean by speed. Scanners can complete their scans much faster than people can, but that's not great if what you've got is a SAS tool that's run in the course of 30 seconds and produced 10,000 vulnerabilities, 95% of which might be false positives. That's not faster than getting a person to come in and spend a few hours or a few days looking at something and producing highly accurate, highly precise output that can very, very quickly be folded into the development process. So, yeah, I'm reluctant to say that one's faster than the other one, even though intuitively you would think it is faster. What I would say is that there needs to be a mechanism by which one feeds the other one so that people can monopolize on the capabilities of the automation. As you touched on before, scanners are reliable at finding certain vulnerabilities, and therefore, you can very, very quickly wipe a massive percentage of vulnerabilities off the table that people don't need to look at. So all of a sudden, instead of you needing to spend 5 days testing a web application, if 80% of those vulnerabilities can be found using automation, then you only need to spend 1 day testing that web application because the scanner's done the rest, right? And then even less than that, because then there's the grey area, those vulnerabilities that scanners might be able to detect, might not be able to detect, or at least can detect, but with a lot of false positives. You feed that into the person, and all of a sudden, they know those 12 or 13 places to look for cross-site scripting, for example, the first places to look for it, and they don't get fatigued having to poke around the entire application to look for it. They actually, they can very, very quickly be able to isolate it in a matter of minutes, and I think then you start getting into the realms of not even talking about a day's worth of testing, but a few hours worth of manual testing time where a person is only looking in the places that vulnerabilities might specifically be and only looking for vulnerabilities that haven't already been detected. And at that point, you're in a really, really interesting place where you might be able to actually start talking about testing inside sprints, testing at the same sort of cadence that you might be doing functional and UAT testing, and getting things out in a number of days into production, having been fully tested using manual and automated capabilities, rather than potentially having to sacrifice on that 20% of vulnerabilities just because you think a person might need to spend 5 days.
Yeah, totally get it. So we've got tools, and we've got people, and we've got their varying different skill sets and how they complement one another. Surely the only solution here is that these are somehow symbiotic, that they're somehow folded in, and they can kind of almost be instruments in an orchestra, if you like. How do we do that? What are some of the foundational steps to be able to have a system in place where scanners are able to do their best work and be successful in the confines of what we're asking them to do, but being cognizant of the other elements that we know they're not going to cover and having appropriate provisions for those?
Well, I think the safest place to start is by looking at, well, trying to figure out exactly what kinds of vulnerabilities you're looking for so that you can start making the decision about what to orchestrate, right? That's a very sort of well-defined process of threat modeling. You know, if you look at every single opportunity for a vulnerability to enter a system, i.e. every time a person is making a change, and you start to say, okay, this change is a new form field. A new form field is a user input and therefore might be susceptible to SQL injection or cross-site scripting. Okay, this form field is also used to contribute towards the checkout flow and therefore might be susceptible to a business logic flaw. And you've defined out that those are the kinds of vulnerabilities, then you can quite easily and quite clearly delineate those first two vulnerabilities are vulnerabilities that an automated tool can do. Oh, but that third one is one that a tool can't do, so it's time to bring in a person and get them involved as well. And I think through that, it's a really, really straightforward process to be able to say, bring in the right tool, the right technology, or the right person in each and every situation, and start building out these sort of custom flows to be able to detect every vulnerability.
And what about all these vulnerabilities in the middle, right? I mean, a good use case, a good example here is day one of a pen test, your scanner starts telling you that there's you know, DOM-based cross-site scripting or whatever inside this particular field or whatever. We've all been there, right? Where pen testers generally are supposed to prove things like exploitability, they're supposed to make a business case around it. Sometimes when that scanner's telling you that that's there and you kind of say, yeah, it is there, that can still be kind of a lot of work. We've all seen the pen tester pulling their hairs out saying, kind of, you know, I need more here. I need to be able to do this arbitrarily. I need to be able to enhance this and prove its exploitability in some way. And I guess this is where it gets very interesting, because we live in a world where quite often vulnerabilities like cross-site scripting can just get ignored. They can just be put, you know, if you've got 500 vulnerabilities to fix, it might not just automatically make its way to the top of the pile, whereas it potentially should be at the top of the pile if it was enhanced some way, right? Because the scanner might not be giving you the whole part of the story. Where do you sit there, and what are some, you know, is that correct? And what are some interesting takeaways in terms of knowing where the two can actually harmonize around a particular vulnerability class?
Well, I mean, you say the two, right? There's lots of different scanning technologies.
Yep, sure.
What my take is, people are really, really effective if testers are really, really effective the more context that they have. And scanning tools are really, really good at providing context, but different tools provide different bits of context, right? SAST is great at being able to say, at a code level, this smells funny, as we say, or this looks like it might be a cross-site scripting vulnerability, but they're not great at telling you this is where it actually is in the application. You know, you need to go to the login page, or you need to go to the user management page, or wherever else it might be. Dynamic scanning tools are often quite good at being able to actually find where something might be, but they're not necessarily always good at being able to exploit the issue with a high level of confidence. It might say, I'm seeing reflected content coming back to me, and therefore there is the potential for some sort of a HTML injection vulnerability, for example, or reflection type of an attack. But maybe they haven't got quite as far as to confidently say there's a cross-site scripting. A person who gets told about the HTML being reflected back might intuit that that's the vulnerability, but when they actually get told, actually, here is the code level deficiency as well, and they combine those two things together, all of a sudden they start thinking, okay, this is a cross-site scripting, I found it, I've been able to validate it. So I think that intelligence picture gets built up over time through an aggregate of automated tools in these grey area situations, and then can be fed into a person who can start making those end decisions. But the other thing as well, one thing that people are good at, and automation is getting better at, and this is a really great application for artificial intelligence, but one thing that often is difficult to do when you have 500 plus vulnerabilities is to be able to understand what the relationship between those vulnerabilities is. Scanners are notoriously bad for this. You might have 1,000 different vulnerabilities being picked up by an automated tool, but if you can't describe how those vulnerabilities could be chained together to affect an actual impact to the business, they're kind of meaningless, and saying something's a low risk because information disclosure is always a low risk, or something's a high risk because cross-site scripting is always high risk, is complete nonsense, right? But having a person told these are the 5 or 6 different vulnerabilities, and that person can imagine how those vulnerabilities fit together, helps them understand whether that cross-site scripting is a low, a medium, a high, and helps you helps to do some prioritization there.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. I think, yeah, all good. Thanks everybody for listening. It's been another interesting episode where we've really dived into some key topics there. What would you say the key takeaways are?
The scanning is not about breadth versus depth. Scanning is about reliably and consistently finding a certain number of vulnerabilities, and people shouldn't be looking for those vulnerabilities. People should be brought in to look for the other vulnerabilities. But also that there is a symbiotic relationship between the two, or at least there should be. And if they're not working in harmony, if they're working as entirely isolated controls, then there's a lot of wasted time spent and resource going on in that process that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Perfect. Right, well, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Let's Talk Security Testing.
Bye now.
You have to call that.